All right, let me get to my right page. We have some success stories here. This is our success story session. So what we wanted to do is to be able to just talk to a few of the people inside of our own membership who are, you know, just banging it out and can give you advice and help you with things. So we're bringing them all on. First of all, I want each of you to introduce yourself. And I think we've got about 20 minutes, so we'll kind of like just quickly introduce ourselves, how long you've been in NoBS, and tell us what makes you a success story. So your name, how long you've been here, and what makes you a success story. Let's go with Patsy. Do you want to go first? Do you mind?
Yeah, I can go first.
Awesome.
Okay, so my name is Patsy Harvey. I joined NoBS in September of 2020, but I have been following Corinne and the Four Basics since August of 2019. I've lost 75 pounds. I think that my weight loss is a very small part of why I'm a success story. I tell people all the time that NoBS has changed everything about my entire life. It has changed my marriage. It saved my marriage. It's changed the way that I parent my daughter. It has changed the way I do just about everything. So that's that. I will try to keep it short.
All righty. Robin?
Hi, I'm Robin Van Vogt. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Really good.
All right, perfect. So I have been in the membership since New Year's Eve of 2018. So I just hit my 3-year anniversary. So right
That's
off the
so
bat,
crazy.
I know. I've lost 83 pounds with you. And so that's quick, like Patsy said, that's the smallest part, I think, of what makes me a success. I've really figured out a way to do this that I can do forever, a way that I love it, that I know I won't be going backwards, and really dropping the self-hatred that comes with trying to lose weight. I mean, coming in, you know, you have those thoughts, you know, I have to lose weight, I'm disgusting, some of those kinds of things, and really dropping that pretty quickly in the program through the work that you do. And it just makes it so much easier to go through this process when you let that go. So, so that's been great for me.
What about you, Angie?
Hi, everybody. My name is Angie Ceriletti. I joined, I'm an August baby. So I joined during the August Big Free Challenge last year in 2021. I've lost 58 pounds. And I really feel like I've had success with NoBS by just jumping in with both feet and basically doing everything Corinne tells me to do. Even when I feel like it feels a little bit woo, I go with it. I use a lot of the NoBS tools. My favorite is the Fuck It Foods worksheet. I used that for the first time when I went to camp virtually in October, and I brought my little pup Cheetos. And that exercise was awesome because if I was forced to mindfully eat a Cheeto, they weren't very sexy. So I haven't craved a Cheeto since, and I'm loving that and knowing that I am no longer powerless against the Cheeto. Also, urge worksheets have helped me a ton because I would have an urge before, just eat and then quit. So these gave me the ability to plan for those urges. And then Jane's December call about urges through Binge Better was so helpful because she taught me, like, I didn't think it was good to allow an urge, but she kind of taught me that that would stop me from fist fighting the urge and just deal with the feelings that you had. And then if you did eat, I could just do a disco sheet and move on. I didn't have to do a beat down about it. And the last thing is just my great new habits by making those small changes. I've definitely lost as much mental weight as physical weight all through going through the menopause.
The menopause. I always love how we always have to talk about the menopause. That is like one of women's biggest excuses, you know, and it's like, I know that it can be like science and all this other stuff, but one of the things that I keep going back to all of you is like, just because somebody said it or just because you heard it doesn't mean that you need to take that on as your truth. Because if it makes you feel like shit, like I can't do this because of that, well, then you've hosed yourself. It's like, what can I do regardless of that? Such a better reframe. All right, Debbie. My girl,
Hello.
Debbie.
Hi, how are you? I'm Debbie Lurvy, and I am from New Hampshire. I joined NoBS also on December 30th 31st of 2018, and I have lost 100 pounds and I'm a proud member of the Century Club.
Yes.
And thank you. I think there are so many things that make me a success story and make all of us a success story. We are all here spending our Sunday afternoons here, so we are all a success for that. But my biggest success, I think, is that I met my future self. I never thought that I would meet her, and I sure as hell never thought that she'd be as amazing as I am now. And it's not because of my weight loss. It's not because I stopped drinking. It's because I've learned to, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a life coach. I didn't know there was such a thing as thought work. The first time I had to try to practice self-care, I was standing in a Walmart aisle thinking, how am I going to pick a body soap? They have so many smells. I don't remember which one I like better. But it's all the things that I have learned on my way down. And Corinne has said so often that as we're going through the weight loss, there are those of us who end up losing all of our weight and being, what do I do now? And that's the beauty of being here in No BS. I didn't know what I was going to do when I lost the weight. I did private coaching. It was the best gift I gave to myself, and it helped me figure out how to live with my future self after I've met her. So I think that's what makes me a success story. And I love to share what I've learned. So I post kind of a lot, but it helps me, and I hope it helps others too. So I think that's why I am a success story.
Well, I just want to say, number one, one of the things that you all have in common is that you just got in here and you just did some of the work. And I am sure, like, just raise of hands of the four of you, when you first joined, who had the thought, I don't know if I can do this?
Yes. All
right. Show of hands from the success story. Who failed a diet or diets before they became a No BS woman? All right. Lower your hands. Of the success stories, who made mistakes? All right. And of the success stories, who still has shitty thoughts and can still keep going?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. For all of you who are sitting around like, I'm Corinne's special snowflake. You don't know my special unique problem. Like, none of your problems are special and none of them are unique. You've got to quit making your problems special and unique. Mm-hmm. That is like what ends up happening when you become a success story. This is what happens when you end up losing your weight, is you stop looking at your problems and making them like a whoopee, an excuse, making them true. You work harder at unwinding the problems as to, there's got to be a solution. I'll go to my grave figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, do that. Rather than thinking like, oh my gosh, I need somebody to tell me exactly what to do right now. All right. So Angie, you mentioned that one of your main obstacles with No BS was justifying the cost. Can you share a little bit more about what helped you decide that it would work for you?
Yeah, I told myself it was going to work because basically it was different than anything I had ever tried before. And during that week challenge and hanging on your every word, Corinne, the things that really stuck out to me was I wouldn't have to calorie count. Now, I will admit I did not believe you, but I was willing to listen. Okay.
Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
All the success stories. How many of you were like, that Corinne, that's some, like, I'm down with this, but that was bullshit she just said. Even I don't believe some of the shit I tell.
So the next thing was just that I could actually talk nice to myself now versus waiting until I met my goal weight. And then no more judging was huge. Like, I didn't have to think I was bad or good based on the food that I ate. I also wanted to learn how to stay on plan when the shit hit the fan, because it seemed like the shit was hitting the fan every day. The perfectionism thing. You told me I didn't have to be perfect, so I'm going to give it a shot. And also, I don't like eating breakfast. So when you told me that I didn't have to eat every 2 to 3 hours and still keep my metabolism, I was all in for that. And the Last Supper. You told me I didn't have to give up my favorite foods. So I did not have a Last Supper, just like you told me. So all those things made me super hopeful.
So you bring up a good point about how basically, and this is, I think, really important. This was kind of like when I was, building the business a little bit, I had all the stories. I had just as many stories about why, like, I was never going to be good at it. Chris is so much smarter than me. Well, I didn't go to college. You just don't know. I learned slower than other people. I had a lot of stories about that stuff. And I put faith and trust in my mentor. I was just like, well, if she says do it, it's got to be a good idea. Because I just at some point had decided my thinking seems to be steering me in the wrong direction, because I had had this business for 10 years and never made a dime. We'd lost money on it for 10 years. Chris and I joke all the time. The only money we ever made, I ended up buying tights and race entries. That was the amount of profit I ever had. Most of the time, though, I cannot tell you how many years we put our own money into it because I loved the business so much.
Thank God.
And it wasn't that I believed that we would ever get our money back. I just really believed in y'all and that every woman deserved this opportunity. And so when I decided to it's time to shit or get off the pot. I want to help more women. And my mentor told me the best way you can help more women is to make this a real business and quit playing Barbie Dream Store with it. And so I was just like, I had all of a sudden all the fear, just like y'all do when you enter here, all of a sudden it's like all your fears about not being able to lose weight come up like through your throat and want to vomit right out your mouth. Same thing happened with me. And I just decided, well, I'm just going to trust her for now. Whatever she's teaching, I'll try it. And that's what I need some of you to do, is to stop believing that you're unworthy and to stop believing that I work a lot and, what people are saying out there about us doctors or about us being overweight or whatever, stop that. Believe my mindset for a little while. Just be like, whatever crack she smokes, I'm on. Let's go. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Debbie, you talked in your video about your husband's support. So when you submitted to come in, can you talk about how you got him on board with No BS and how he's supporting you today?
He probably was on board because he didn't have to eat sweet potatoes every single night and every single meal for the rest of his life. The man will not eat a sweet potato now because that was one diet.
That's what's funny is our husbands are just like, Dad, please don't start a diet because I know that means you're going to make me eat your bullshit. And I want to eat your bullshit.
And that is exactly it. So he was, when I say I've done every gimmick, just like all of us here, I have in some a couple of times, and I have spent small fortunes on all the things that are going to work and they don't. And when I found the free program in October of 2018, I thought, who is this foul-mouthed lady from Tennessee with the short hair? What is a life coach? And then I heard her talking to Kathy, and I'm like, but they seem to really get along, and this all makes sense. And so I was making my plan, and when it came time to sign up, money was tight. It was very tight in our family, and I just couldn't pull the trigger. And he walked into our bedroom, came back out with the debit card, and said, if you're going to do this, make it work. And he has supported me every step of the way since. I'm very fortunate that he is the cook of our family because I don't cook. And when I make my plan, I tell him what we're having for dinner. He gets it done, and it's done when I get home. He stays at home. I work. It's what works for us. And we went to a party the other day, and I said, listen, I said, I really am afraid I'm going to foggy. We need to think of a word, and you just tell me. So he said, knobs. Now, of course, I go with No BS, but he goes with knobs. I thought you'd appreciate that, Grit.
Oh, yeah.
And when I went to camp for my first time, I was terrified. I bawled my eyes out at the airport. I mean, sobbing. And he brought me to it. He said, this is going to be the best experience of your life. And he wasn't kidding. It was. And he just, as I've gone further off track and kind of been the rebellious child for the last couple of months here in No BS, he has been a constant reminder. And MJ said something to me in coaching that he reminds me of constantly. What were you doing when you were successful? And it's just having someone to support me and to remind me of, you know, you think you can do it on your own, but you can't. Remember what got you here and remember to keep working it. And when I said to him a couple of months ago, I really need help because I'm getting out of maintenance, he said, when you make your plan again, we can talk about how you're going to help yourself. And it's true. I had stopped making my plan. So I was asking for help when I knew what the help was. So
Everybody would like to know if your husband has a single brother.
Yeah, he does.
Debbie will be putting it up and y'all can decide to swipe left or not. Or whatever whatever you do on those swipey things.
Whatever you're supposed to swipe
something.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you, Debbie. Patsy, you mentioned that No BS saved your marriage. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So nobody ever actually believes me when I tell them that it genuinely did save my marriage. So right after I joined No BS, my three-year-old daughter and I moved out of my house and we moved in with my mother. And my husband and I have always been the couple that everybody wants to be. We're madly in love with each other. And we had been at that point. We were together for 5 or 6 years. And I started doing more of the thought work because I actually lost 50 pounds prior to joining the membership. So I did a lot of thought work when I first joined. And the biggest thing that resonated with me was other people's opinions. And I didn't realize that the reason that my marriage was failing is because I thought my husband had these opinions of me that did not fucking exist. Like literally the words never came out of his mouth. I thought that he couldn't stand to be around me because I was not at my ideal weight yet. And that I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't skinny enough. The words literally never came out of his mouth. So once I realized that I was making up fake opinions and that I had to focus on what the truths were, that's really when I was able to move back home and our marriage is better than it has ever been in the entire 7 years that we've been married. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's that.
Well, I love that because I think that of all the things that, you know, at our last camp, we talked so much about other people's opinions and things like that. And we have it also in our relationships workshop that is like the old relationship workshop, I think, or no, it's self-love. I think it's where we have the other people's opinion worksheet in there. I think when a lot of you really get a hold of how what your mind is making up in stories and separate out like what is like just what is the facts of what's happening right now versus this elaborate interpretation and things that I've got going on, even just separating that out is so much peace and so much calm in your mind. That helps so much. So for all of you who are thinking about like, you know, thought work and it's complicated and it's all this other stuff, one of the best things is just learning how to be like, here are the facts of what's happening and the rest of it has to be my interpretation. If it wasn't said and if I can't prove it, then it's just not true. All right, Robin, last one, best one, as they say.
Yeah.
You mentioned you had some health challenges when you first started. What convinced you to keep going?
Yeah, so I was only about a month in the membership and actually was having great success. I loved it. I thought, this is it. And I ended up with a pretty severe pneumonia, some fluid around my lungs, was in the hospital for 9 days. Got out of the hospital, went back in the hospital, and it ultimately turned out to be an autoimmune problem that had caused all of this. So I needed to go on steroids for what ended up being about 6 months and some pretty high doses. And so for those of you that probably have heard this, steroids, you know, cause weight gain and, you know, and it is a side effect, but I actually ended up reaching out to you in a Facebook Live. You were doing a Q&A and I said, I think my question was basically, how do I lose weight on steroids? Like, I was still kind of a newbie. So thinking like, oh, can Corinne tell me like, eat this and, you know, it'll be great. But of course, you went right to the thinking, how I was thinking about it, and that the weight loss was really secondary to keeping my habits, keeping my behaviors going, you know, having compassion for myself. And by the time I would come off the steroids, then I would be primed and ready to keep, you know, the weight loss piece going. But that really was how I was thinking about things. And so I kind of bookmarked that in the podcast player and just re-listened to it all that whole summer, just to remind myself, you know, where I was at, all the things I was doing for myself. And I did actually lose a little bit of weight during that time. And then when I came off the steroids, it started, you know, coming off. And really, you know, not being afraid of what was going to happen, not using it as an excuse to eat. I've been on courses of steroids in the past and would say, okay, now I'm just going to eat. You know, that's just what this does. And not even really taking a moment to evaluate if I was even hungry, just making that assumption, oh, now I get to eat all the things. And just kind of stopping those behaviors really told me I'm never going to stop this. So in the past, any diet or program, any tiny little life circumstance that would happen, it's like, oh, I'm out. Like, I'm in the drive-thru lane. And with this huge thing that had happened, like, that wasn't happening with this. And so I knew that this was forever, and I'm a lifer, and we'll never quit. So, yeah, I'll never forget, you know, your advice, and it's helped me so much.
And I do think that's important, because one of the things that I keep kind of going back to is, you know, what's important in weight loss other than just your thinking is, you know, maintaining habits, maintaining like that minimum baseline, so that when you're going through something, you know, if it's like, well, I'm still making a plan every day, even if I, you know, am going to have to eat foods I'm not used to, and, or I'm going to not always be eating when I'm hungry and stuff, I at least want to keep the background of things running at all times, so that when this season of my life is over, just like what we do with pregnant women. We do the exact same thing. When our ladies come in and they have a baby, I'm like, yeah, you can stay, because we want to keep the foundational habits running. When you're pregnant or when you're sick, you always need water. You always need sleep. You got 50% of the basics knocked out right there. You also, when you're pregnant and when you're sick, you also need to pay attention to your hunger. You need to know, like, if you're in some kind of a sickness that dampens your hunger, then you need to know your body well enough to know, like, well, then I need to put myself on feeding intervals. Like, it's all about the intentionality behind eating. And that's why you do a plan. It's more about, you keep the intentionality habits, then whenever that season is done, then you have all of those there ready to catch fire. Okay, well, we are out of time. I know we had a few more questions, but let's just end with one, which is, what is your best piece of advice for no BS women who are looking for success this year? Everybody gets one, like, I'm going to give you a second. I want you to do like one, your best sentence. If you could only tell them one thing, what would it be? So raise your hand when you got your pearl. All right, Angie, you're first.
Okay. Keep Corinne in your ear and remind yourself every day that you no longer talk to yourself like an asshole.
That's a good one. All right, Robin.
Be patient and never quit.
I can't see your name now. Patsy?
Don't stop. Just keep going and do not stop.
Yeah. Debbie?
Make your plan no matter what, every single day. And if you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. I have missed a ton of days. It did not prevent me from losing 100 pounds. And persistence, not perfection. Dude, I love earlier today you said about dividing the day up into four sections. That is amazing, because now you don't have to say, I can wait for Monday, or I'm going to wait till tomorrow. You wait for your next quarter and get it done.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate it. I know all of you have come to camp, and I hope that, raise your hand if you're doing well since the last camp. I hope you're doing well. All right, good. All right. Y'all have an amazing one. Thank you again so much for being here.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. I am going to play a video for all of you. And then when we come back from the video, Jane is going to be here with me. I believe I am doing this right. So I'm going to get that going. This has been such a great day, y'all. I'm so proud of all of you. We still have 3,400 of you, 34 plus here. Do you want to change your life? Get busy. This is the weekend to do it. We're going to use our modern day brain, like fat ass Nobius women. We're going to start creating the story that we want. When you start telling the story that you want, you get the experience that you desire. Start now. Stop waiting. I know you can't hear me because I had myself muted. Sorry. But we can't hear you. So we got to get you unmuted now.
Okay. I think we're here.
Right. Yes. Now we're here. We also got our sweaters going.
Look at us. Do you recognize the sweater?
The White House Black Market from our last girls trip.
That's right.
So this is the sweater that I swore I would buy. Remember when we were walking and I was like, ooh, the only thing I regret today is I didn't buy that one sweater at Ann Taylor Loft. This is the sweater I went back to the Nashville one and found. So we kind of got them on the same girls weekend. And we didn't even plan it. So, all right. So what we want to do is we kind of just want to start off with everyone on talking about me and Jane's friendship, how it started. I'm actually going to let Jane talk about this because I think that our friendship, it started as her as a client. So she knows more about her beginning journey of like how we came together. And then we'll go into the second half. But go ahead and tell them how you got started with us, Jane.
Well, I found you in February of 2008. For those that don't know, I certainly in the past have identified as a binger, started binge eating in 1998 and was I was in a rough place in life. I had recently had a miscarriage. My husband was working a ton. I was binging a lot and I was just feeling really just lost. And somebody had recommended you, basically. I got online. I found your website. I had to apply to become a member. And I remember just waiting, checking my email to see if I was going to get approved and, you know, just, anyway, that was February of 2008. And I think from the beginning, I just knew that you were different. I knew that my life would change because of you. And I was all in. I mean, I have been to camps. I have been to all the trips, all the things. And so I think through various camps and various times, you know, we became friends, but it was really going to the Life Coach School together in 2015 that I think changed our relationship and kind of put us on the trajectory to where we are now.
I think so too. I mean, like one of the things I think is so cute about me is like back in the day when I was, you know, spending money on having a business that I had that rigorous application that I would put people through to even join. But I know we, like, I just remember that we had been talking and stuff because you had told me about the Life Coach School and you had told me in private. You had, like, texted me. So we were already kind of, like, probably chatting and stuff, but we weren't like we are now. Like, we were not besties or anything. We were just kind of both interested in the same things and been around each other. But then we went, for all of you who don't know, Jane and I are both certified as life coaches through the Life Coach School. And when we went, it was in 2015, and we had to stay in California. I think we were actually there for 10 whole days because we had to fly out like the day before it started. It was 8 days of training and a Holiday Inn. And then we left the next day, and we got to know each other very well that week. And so that, I think, really, it was like Jane, the best memory I have of that week was when we did our Fuck It Foods worksheet. She called it something else. I've renamed it and changed it to the Fuck It Foods worksheet. But it was the first time that Jane had bought binge food in front of people.
In front of people. I cried. I mean, it was, yes, it was a big deal.
We were standing in a sushi restaurant getting the rest of our dinner, and she's standing there basically with donuts bawling. And that lady was looking at us like, what is wrong with you people? And then the following year, I think what really changed in our relationship, we became really good friends that year for sure, but when we went to Master Coach training. So Jane and I are both also Master Coaches, and we had to spend another year together where we would fly out to California. We flew out there 4 times. We would be there sometimes anywhere from like 4 days to more days, that kind of thing. And we just got to know each other really well because we were partners. We wanted to hold ourselves accountable to each other. We shared all of our work. And that was when everything really, I think that was when it really took off for us. And we've just never looked back. I mean, I have a lot of funny memories of the two of us. Just, I remember when we wanted to do Master Coach training and, you know, me, I was the cheap one of the two of us. I was just like, oh, the money. And I remember sitting in the car and calling Chris and sweating and so nervous when I told him I wanted to do this. And I was like, it's going to be so much money. And he was like, in Chris's mind, he was just, you should do it. Like, if you think this is going to be great and help you with your business, you should do it. But Jane literally had to coach me to even get me to ask him because I was so nervous about it. So, well, let's talk about just about the commonalities I think you and I have when it comes to relationships. One of the things that, so this morning you and I were actually talking and you said something so wise. You were telling me that one of the things that the two of us, I don't think I agreed with you. Before the Life Coach School, I would have told you my relationships were pretty good. I would have said, like, I would have described, like, you and I kind of described our mothers very similarly, which is, now, I think I had a rockier past in the, like, I had my moments with Mammy, but at that time, I would have described it as like, you know, my mom and I are just not that close. She's way closer to my brother. And like with Logan, I would just like, well, it's hard. He has autism. You know, I just described my relationships like that. I had just accepted that this is how it was going to be. So can you just expand a little bit on what you were describing on that this morning when we were talking?
Yeah. So I definitely would have just said, I have great relationships. I have a good husband. I have great friends. Yeah. My mom and I, we're not very close. My sister and I, we don't get along. We never got along. Maybe we talk once or twice a year, but I just would have thought that I was kind of describing just the news. And even with my husband, I have a great marriage, but my husband works too much. You know, how many times did you and I talk about, you know, him working too much or saying he was going to do one thing and not doing another? And, you know, there would be those types of things that I would have said. But I never would have, one of the things I told you this morning is I never would have signed in the past. I would not have signed up for a relationships weekend. I would have been like, my relationships are fine. I don't need a relationships weekend. Like, I would not have been motivated to do that. But what's really interesting for me is to look at just how much my relationships have changed and how much they've grown and how much they have expanded over the years. And it all really comes back to the work I've done on my relationship with myself. Like, yeah. I've heard it said, I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe it, that you can really only have relationships with other people to the extent at which you have a relationship with yourself. And I think what's happened for both of us, this is kind of what I was telling you this morning, is like, I think what's happened for both of us is we have done so much work on our relationships with ourselves that you just can't help but expand that into your relationship with other people. I'm no longer looking to my husband to complete me or to let me know that I'm okay. Or I was even thinking about when Patsy on the success stories, when Patsy was talking about her relationship with her husband and how she was so convinced that he was thinking all of these things about her, right? And those things were the things she was thinking about herself. And she was attributing them, she was attributing those thoughts to her husband when really they were just her own thoughts about herself. So what did she do? She changed her thoughts about herself. And then that came through in her relationship with her husband. And I think that's exactly what you and I have done. And it's just like every single other relationship that you have in your life just benefits so much from it.
Yeah. I was sitting there thinking as you were talking, like for me, you know, a lot of, like, I will say, like, Chris and I have grown closer. I don't want all of y'all to think that relationships weekend, though, is just about like husbands and wives and, you know, partners. It's about mainly understanding the relationship with yourself first and how relationships work. You know, a relationship starts in your mind first. You know, you have a human out here, just like I was talking about earlier today. You got a human and you've got interpretations of that human. And that human can be your boss. It can be your dog. Well, not necessarily a dog, but you have relationships all around you. It can be your children. It can be aunts, uncles. It can be all kinds of things. And we have a lot of interpretations about them. Some interpretations, some of us are in relationships where we don't take advantage of how much awesome is staring us in the face. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, that I really learned was when I started really feeling worthy, I started noticing all the little things Chris did, like exponentially, that I would just scoot under the rug. It's like, well, he should do that or blah, blah, blah. And then I look at Chris and I look at these little things that he does and they mean so much more to me because my own mental drama has reduced so much in my own mind with my relationship. It opened the door for that. But I will tell you, like when it comes to friends, I mean, one, I don't have very many friends. And I think that that is a direct correlation to really becoming my own best friend. It allowed me to have what I would call a true best friend. You're like I'll probably cry, but other than my husband, you're probably the first true best friend I've ever really had. I have had great friends all my life, but I've never really had anyone that, like, I pretty much tell you everything, even though today you probably heard me when I was saying like, yeah, but it's just like, it's even just like rando bullshit. But like, if something is truly wrong, I would tell you, I did not have that all my life. And so what I also figured out that when I started figuring out how relationships work, I started really understanding my worth and my value. I cut some dead weight. Like for the first time in my life, I was always so needy because I just didn't think people loved me and I didn't think I was good enough. And I, you know, didn't think I was smart, cute enough, thin enough. Like I just had all my not enoughness going on. When I cleaned all that up, I started realizing that there were people in my life I did not need to hang on to anymore. I didn't need to have everybody. I needed to have rich relationships. And it gave me the courage to understand where I was hanging on to people that I just didn't need anymore. And I didn't have to do it like an asshole and I didn't have to be a jerk or anything like that. But I learned how to let things go and feel like less is more. Because I feel like for a long time, I was a collector of people because I was so terrified of being abandoned. And so I think that was one of the things that really helped me as we were going through. Like I remember working on just my self-concept with Logan, my relationship with him and what that was going to be. That has been an ongoing process. I just think we have so many opportunities in our life to work on ourselves. And I just love the way you said it this morning where you were talking about how, like, I just know where I'm at now with relationships and I'm so grateful for myself. And to think like 5 years ago, I would have thought I had it good. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what the fuck I was missing. That's where I was at. And so one of the reasons why we wanted to do, Jane and I actually, we kind of, I'm almost 100% sure this is how Relationships Weekend came up was, I think you and I just kind of kept talking about the importance of relationships. And at some point I declared, that should just be the camp theme. That's kind of how it's usually how all the things that happen in OBS is like Jane and I get off on a girls' weekend and I'm like, we should do this in OBS. But all right. So when you work on yourself, you work on your relationships. The other thing that's coming up around a lot of people, and I don't think you have to actually be alone to feel lonely, but one of the things that people keep saying is, I have nothing to work on. I'm all alone. And one of the things I was thinking about is for all of our single people, or this is like not just our single people, but like empty nesters who are going to fill that void of being alone. What do you think people could get out of Relationships Weekend, just knowing all the work that we've done personally around this stuff?
Well, I think the whole concept of being alone really highlights that relationship with yourself. And so if somebody is concerned, and I mean, you and I have talked about this too, we have both, I think, in the past been not necessarily great at being with ourselves because of the thoughts that we had, the not enoughness, the you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you're, you know, whatever. And so I think we have both had these times where, you know, we have either just wanted to be very busy, just always working, always doing, always, you know, you working on the business or me doing my athletics or whatever. But when you stop and when you really are by yourself, all of whatever is happening in your mind, that relationship with yourself, it has to come up. And so when that's not there, when that's not, when you haven't cultivated it or you haven't decided what you want that relationship to look like, I think that's why so many of us end up turning to food or turning to, you know, the Netflix or whatever. It's to avoid the conversation that's happening. It's like, it really does start with that relationship with yourself, which if somebody is an empty nester and they've spent so many years caring for their family and their kids and everything else, and then all of a sudden it really does come back. It really is only about you and that relationship with yourself.
I think too, for like our single girls, I think about, you know, if you don't take the time to work on the relationship you have, you're going to seek out someone to fill your voids, you know, and then you're going to be needing them all the time to be on their A game with fulfilling your emotional needs, or you're going to feel terrible. Because it's real easy to meet someone and be enthralled and be in love, and then the newness wears off after a few months. And when they're tired of trying to prove to you that they care about you, or trying to, you know, like you come in all the time in a sour ass mood because you've been talking to yourself like an asshole all day long. Like, you have to be very aware that those things go on, or you, like, it's hard for you to find a true partner. You start looking for someone for all the wrong reasons. Like, for all of our single girls, one of the things I would like encourage all of you to do is spend some time with yourself, figure out who you are, figure out like what you truly want. And how can you give that to yourself now? Because then when somebody comes along, they amplify what you already believe about yourself. What you don't want is for someone to have to come in and do the hard labor of your self-esteem, of your self-love. I did that to Chris for a long time. You know, that was like, I have talked about it inside the membership. I would pick fights to make sure he loved me, that he, like, it was like, I need to be like, when I would think I'm worried about our marriage, like, and I would create all kinds of bullshit drama. Like, he doesn't eat healthy. That may, like, I remember the very first day we were in life coach school. Like, I was like, I'm raising my hand. I paid my $6,000 to be here. So I'm going to get my coaching. And I argued about how when Chris didn't eat healthy, that meant he didn't love me. And that he was choosing to die and leave me all alone on this earth. That was my biggest concern about my marriage. And I kept getting coaching on it. And what I came to find out was that I was just worried about being alone because I didn't like who I was at the time. And when I started really establishing, this is not to say I wouldn't grieve my ass off if Chris Crabtree died tomorrow, but I would also have my own back through it. And when I learned how to feel enough for me, and when I learned how to be alone with myself and stuff, I stopped reading into everything he did as if it was a grand statement on me. Like, see, the world's going to come back and bite me in the ass and I'm going to be all alone. So that was probably one of the things that really meant a lot to me, because I, for our single girls specifically, I think a lot of times when you hear something like relationships weekend, y'all all think that there's two things happening. Broken people are going to walk in there, and that's all we're going to do is like sit around and cry all day long and dig around in our past. Or it's only for married people. That is not what Relationships Weekend is about at all. It is first and foremost, we're going to do Relationships 101. Most people do not realize how relationships even work. They start in your brain. A relationship is between two people's brains. I love this image my coach drew one time. Here's a human, and here's a human. We both have thoughts. We're both saying words, and we're both seeing things. The relationship isn't between the words and the eyes. The relationship is, I thought this when you like rolled your eyes. I thought this when you said XYZ. This person, when I snap back, thinks this when you said this, when you did this. Everything is happening in the brain, and then everybody's feeling it. That's how relationships work. And we're going to cover that in the first day, because you've really got to understand that relationships are a matter of like, it's a whole concept of your interpretation always is what's happening. Because the only thing you, this is you. You got control over this one. And you got control over how you look and what you say. Other than that, this is up to you to decide. Do I want my interpretation or not? Is my interpretation helping me or is it not? And when you really get this, when we lay out how all this works for you, it allows you to start looking at all the relationships in your life. So we're going to do more than just do things like talk about husbands. We're going to go through all of them. I think that the key relationships that I want to cover that weekend are the one with yourself first. Because especially if you are an empty nester, or if you are a new mom, because once you have a new kid, your relationship with yourself gets magnified. And when you're single, got to have a strong relationship with yourself. Then the next one is family. And I don't mean just your partner, but like our mamas, our daddies, our aunts, our uncles, our families, kids, partners. Lost loved ones is a huge part too. I really want to talk about a lot of us when we lose someone, we feel like we lose a part of ourselves. There is an art to having a relationship with people who are no longer with us in the physical presence. And this is not going to be some big woo-ass experiment. I mean, I'm all about some woo too, but I'm just saying, we really want to talk about how, like, how you think about the people who are no longer here affects you. And it either keeps the relationship thriving or it doesn't. And then the other thing, the reason why Jane is here is because of friends and building a circle. I think one of the things that Jane and I do very well for each other, and we can kind of speak to this, is we really work on our relationship. We make time for each other. We have about every 3 to 4 months, we meet up somewhere and we spend a couple of days together. And we do things that Jane and Corinne like to do. Like Chris and Todd will talk about thought work and stuff, maybe a little bit more than some men. But at the end of the day, they're probably never going to talk about it near as much as you and I want to just get down and talk about food and body and that kind of stuff. And so we, I think, are really good at fulfilling a need and taking the burden off of our partner and off of other people in our life. Like, I don't think there's anybody, even in my friend circle, that I would ever want to talk to about as much food stuff and as much body stuff as I like to talk about with you. And I think that one of the things that we do very well is make, like, we cultivate our friendship. Like, we never leave a weekend together without you saying, like, okay. And Jane is our scheduler between the two of us. Like, I am not. She's also the organizer of our trips, but she'll always say, let's get out our calendars. Like, when are we blocking off time? Where do you think you want to go? What do we want to do? And we're very purposeful about that. So do you want to talk any more about how we make each other special and a priority?
I was just going to say, I don't know if Chris ever says this to you, but there have been a couple of times where if I'm like really struggling with something and it's something that Todd will talk to me about, but he doesn't really get, he'll say like, have you talked to Corinne about this? You know, like he knows where kind of his limits of, you know, kind of the understanding come in, but he also knows you feel that, you know, you feel that need. And so he'll just add like, have you talked to Corinne about this? Yes, I have. I don't know that the answer has ever been no, but, you know, it's like he really kind of recognizes that too. So.
Yeah, Chris doesn't say that, but I don't ever, like, I will say, I don't talk about, it's so funny to me because like with Chris, I probably talk, well, I don't know. He has said this before. I talk to you pretty much more about my private stuff. And it's not that I don't share private things with Chris, but I share more things privately with Chris that have to do like, you know, like if I'm not physically feeling good or like, it's never about like, I talk to you primarily about like insecurities. I do talk about business stuff with you, but a lot of my own personal garbage around like when I'm tired, when I think something's wrong with me. Jane probably hears at least once a week me sitting around thinking something's wrong with me. Something must be wrong with me. And then just like when I'm scared and when I have a lot of body image issues, she hears a lot about that stuff. I just don't talk to Chris about that stuff. And it's not because he wouldn't. I'm sure Chris would indulge me all day long in it. But I don't enjoy talking to him about it as much as I do with you because I feel like with our relationship, to me, you're my go-to person on it. And I think that that's one of the things I want to teach people at Relationships Weekend is that your go-to, like, I think too often we put too many eggs in one basket. We make one person very responsible for everything. It's like, you need to be my best friend and you need to do this, you need to do that. And it's like, I've got some friends that I can have occasional coffee with and I feel very close to them and we might meet once every 6 months. I have you that I talk to like every fucking day, like it's a religion. You know, I see Chris all the time, but you know, it's not the topics that I want him involved in. And it's not because of shame or anything other than that he would listen to me. It's just, I enjoy and I respect your opinion more. I know you get it. And I know you understand it. And I like the idea of making sure that, you know, like with Chris, it's like, I never want to have too much stuff on him because I know like in my past, I have used Chris as the problem solver, the fixer of all things, and the only person I'll talk to and stuff. And I like that, like, you're my person for that. I just enjoy that, you know?
I think it's important too for relationships is like, there are probably, I can imagine there may be people watching this and people thinking like, oh, I wish I had that. Like, I need to find a bestie who I can talk to every single day and I can do this and I can do this and kind of like wanting to almost mirror what we have because, well, we have it and it works for us. So therefore that must work. That must be what I need. And it almost reminds me of, you know, when people say like, well, what do you eat, Corinne? Like, if I just eat what Corinne eats, then I would look as amazing as she does. Or, you know, it's kind of like with what you eat, with what you, all of the things, how much you sleep, what your schedule is, when you do your plan, all of that, right? It's going to be individual for you and what works for you. And I think that's part of really figuring out relationships is what do you need in a relationship? And then figuring out how to kind of fulfill those needs. Because just like a meal plan or what and how often you eat is going to be different. The way that Corinne eats and the way I eat are very different. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and the way that we pick our clothes, very different. But the way that we have our friendship, that's where we do have that match. And so I think it's really important for each person to know that all of your relationships are going to be your own. You're going to have your own needs there. So kind of figuring that out rather than just saying, okay, well, I wish I had exactly what Jane and Corinne have. Like, what what you can, I think, want to emulate is more the connection that we have, yes, you know, and that the benefits that we get from it and how we kind of honor each other and honor what we need. But the way that looks is going to be very different for everybody.
Yeah. And it's kind of like somebody was asking about Kathy being in my friend circle. And it's like, yeah, Kathy and I've been friends for a long time. I mean, I'm very fortunate to have Kathy in my friend circle too, but she's in what I would call just a different little group. Like I have all these, if you ever do Peloton, you'll know what I'm talking about. They do what's called the swarm. So you have like your circle and then you've got like this and you just keep adding. That's kind of what I've done. I have just created like these different little circles of friends, relationships, acquaintances, family members and stuff. And I think about them in ways that I want to think about them. But Jane was really on target when she said it was all about me really figuring out like, what did I need in relationships? Who did I want to be in relationships? What are some of my personal boundaries when it comes to other humans? And what are some of the expectations that I was hanging on to in relationships that were only hurting me? I had a lot of expectations for Chris that hurt me big time. And poor old Chris, he's such a great guy, but like, you know, God love him. He used to, if he ever ate a cheeseburger, I'd be pissed for 2 days. Because I would just sit there, like it would just tap on every insecurity. I would just think he doesn't care. He doesn't support me, like blah, 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 blah. Like I just would think all these crazy things. I did the same thing with Logan. I had all these crazy expectations as to what his progress should be. Like especially with Logan, you know, I have really worked on like just not only my relationship with myself as someone who has an autistic child, but really, I didn't know how much pain I was causing myself when I would sit there. I have an amazing child who is so self-confident. Anybody who knows Logan knows that child can be alone by himself and he will never be lonely. And I'll ask him, and every now and then he'll say he's a little lonely sometimes, but he's always like, but I got me. And I know how to entertain myself. And he loves that he loves to learn and all this stuff. He has such a great outlook about it. And I spent so much time in internal suffering because I would just think, well, if he doesn't have friends like I do, if he doesn't experience the world like I do, he's just missing out. I remember one day bawling to his ABA therapist, making her promise me before she left that one day he would be able to feel, because I was so afraid he would never be able to feel. Because when he was little, he just didn't feel much. He felt happy most of the time, but that was about it. He felt happy and rage. That would talk about needing a feelings wheel. He needed to learn the spectrum of feelings. But she was like, well, I can't promise you that. She said, but you know, he'll figure his way out. You've got to trust that or you're going to make yourself miserable. And I made myself miserable for years until I let go of the idea that he needed to experience life like his mama in order to be happy. And I think a lot of us, that's what we don't realize what we're doing in relationships is we're sitting around innocently judging everyone around us, not even judging them out of malice or whatever, but just thinking little things like if they would only feel and think this way, and if they would only do it this way, and if they would only do these things, then they would. That just puts you in so much pain because you don't even realize you're sitting there causing yourself pain when the truth may be they're fucking happy and content doing it the way they're doing it. And so there's just so much about relationships that I have wanted to teach this membership for a long time. It is going to be an amazing weekend. Is there anything you would like to add or anything that you think that they need to know in order to understand like the value of, because the biggest thing that I want y'all to know is whether you come to Relationships Camp or not, it's open and you can register, is that part of weight loss that I have found that I knew was important to me was support, feeling understood, feeling heard. And I try so hard inside of No BS to make sure that you have every opportunity you need or want to have an accountability group, to have a Facebook group that's free of drama and full of love, to have Ask Coaches where people who get what you're going through can help you process what's going on in your life, help you think a different way, to give you these group calls where you have this opportunity to chat with people in the chat. A lot of you have found new friends today. I want all of you to be able to experience relationships at such a greater level in your life, because I think it just makes your life so much fuller. And that is why this is the only camp that we're going to have this year. This is the only 3-day experience that we're going to have together. And I wanted it to be about relationships. I just think it's the one of the single most important things that we all can be doing. Every human wants relationship with themselves and with others. You don't need a ton of them, for all my introverts. I'm not going to make you make 5,000 friends. But I think as humans, we do crave to feel loved, to feel wanted, feel respected. And all of that's an inside job first. And I want to be able to teach you that at Relationships Weekend.
How would you reply to somebody who is thinking about Relationships Weekend, but is also thinking, you know what, weight loss is really my focus. Like, is, if I go to Relationships Weekend, is that going to help my weight loss?
I think I would reply with, watch this entire workshop and realize that every single person that I coached today was either having a poor relationship with an illness, a poor relationship with themselves, a poor relationship with what other people said to them, a poor relationship with a 2-year-old that don't sleep. That poor lady that got coached. I'm not picking on you. But like, we all have relationship things that we can either repair, amplify, make better, or at least decide, this is how I've been doing it. This is what I would like, and I want to work towards that. The big thing that I see is that a lot of us are eating over loneliness. We're eating over rejection. We're eating over fear of what other people are thinking about us. We're eating over what we think is not happening in a relationship, disconnection. That's how it applies to weight loss. You know, like I keep telling y'all, like down here in the think, feel, do cycle, here's eating. You're either going to be overeating or you're going to be eating for yourself in the most compassionate and best way. And that will always come from how you're thinking. And a lot of times the things that you're thinking about are yourself, the relationship you have with food and how it started. You're thinking about your mom. You're thinking about your boss. You're thinking about that dude that ghosted you. Thinking about tons of things when it comes to other people. We're in relationship with a lot of things. And so I just think it's important that if we're going to lose weight, we got to start talking about root cause problems and working on those and stop asking Corinne, how do I leave 2 bites behind? There ain't a soul in this membership that don't know how to leave 2 bites behind. It's called stop putting your fork in your mouth. The process is not complicated. But what is complicated is when you're eating the last 2 bites because you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, my husband hasn't said anything nice to me since I've been home today. Like if you're sitting there and thinking that every time your wife walks out of the room, she doesn't want to be with you. Yeah, you're probably going to want an Oreo to fill the void. That's how it affects weight loss.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'll see you on Marco Polo tomorrow.
I was going to say, I'll see you in the morning. I won't be outside. The weather has, as I told you, the weather was going to turn to shit. It has turned to the shit. So, all right. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. All right. Let's do some prizes. I ran over just a minute. Is that what we're doing next? All right. So let me tell you your homework. Your homework is the word of the year. It is in the back of your go-getter's guide. I would do this. I would just go and search on Google. I actually looked one up. There was a big list of them. Just put, or you can go to Pinterest. You can type in word of the year exercise, finding my word of the year. And you will find all kinds of articles that will give you like tons and tons and tons of words. All you need to do is you need to write, I want you to write 20 out. And then I want you to pick one that really means something to you. Like try them on. You don't have to figure it out tonight or anything like that. Like my word this year is legacy. Like when I was trying on words, the one that I kept coming back to is legacy, because I want to create a legacy for my son and for women. When Corinne is long and gone, I want to make sure that the things that I teach in No BS change the world, so that like I can rest in peace and with the good Lord knowing that I did my best to help women lose their weight for good. So find your word. And then I want you to share on Facebook. You can use our digital screensaver. So if you go to the 2022 webpage that we created for all of you, there is a screensaver there where you can share it. You can share it in Facebook. You can share it on Instagram and tag me. Would love to see them. And then if you check your email for Mission Impossible, the kickoff starts now, or you can visit the website. Our challenge starts tomorrow. So you can go find out all the information about next month. There'll be prizes at the end of the month for that. We also have prizes today for all of you. So do we have, all right, here we go. Who is ready to hear the prizes? Oh my gosh. I would hit one of these buttons, but here. All right. Number one, Ashley Brown has won 1 year of No BS Planners. Yay. And then virtual camp or virtual DSB, which is Don't Stop Believing. That will be in June of this year. More information will be coming out later about that. That is not a camp weekend. You're literally going to come to Nashville, get your swag, and you are going to run or walk. Like it's not like camp where we do like 3 days of stuff. It's just where you come and you do a race, you get a hug from me, and we just celebrate life. But anyway, virtual camp or virtual DSB goes to Leanne Wicks. And then here's the No BS Woman of the Year prize. I don't know why we called it that. That's hilarious. You get virtual camp or virtual DSB, 3 months of private coaching. You get 1 year of No BS membership, and you get 1 year of No BS planners. And if your name is Nicole Notario Risk, you are our winner. So thank you so much, everybody, for being here all day. I can't believe how many, over 3,000 of you stayed all day long. That is not only a record, but amazing. Make sure that if you watch the replays, they should be out. I would give our team a week. It probably will come out sooner, but give our team a week to get all the replays broken down. And then if you are a winner, you just need to email support@pnptribe.com, and we will get you all hooked up. Other than that, let's just rock it. You have got everything you need for the next 90 days. Love y'all. See y'all this week. Bye, y'all.